Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Chiefs lose 22-21 to the Tennessee Titans. Let's hear some comments from Arrowhead Stadium yesterday. Andy Reid spoke with the media at noon, and then a few players spoke with media members after that around 2:30 or so. The only players that agreed to speak to the media in the locker room were Derek Johnson and Darrell Revis and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. Travis Kelce has sent out a tweet this morning reading, "Thank you to everyone that reached out to me. Can't tell you how much I appreciate everyone's support. Wish the season could have ended better for myself and the team, but it's time to make it more fuel for the next year. A big shout out to Chiefs Kingdom. Love y'all." And so Travis Kelce tweeted that out within the last hour, after many people obviously wanting to find out how he was, his condition. And most people have said that if the Chiefs were playing in a football game this next week, that Travis Kelce would have played, which another kick to the junk. Now, let's start off with Derek Johnson, who I will give a massive amount of credit to. He was one of the three players that stood at their locker yesterday as players were, it was trash bag day. It's always sad to go in there and see the big boxes of trash bags for everyone to grab and fill with their personal items to get out of Arrowhead Stadium. And for some players, it'd be the last time they're in that locker room. We don't know if that's going to be the case with Derrick Johnson. We'll start off with the questions I asked him, Jake. Let's go there. We'll start off with number four. That'll leave us wanting more, Jake. Here's Derrick Johnson about the little thing we call forward progress.
Have you watched the replay of the forward progress play where they didn't call the fumble that you caused on Mariota?
Yeah, that was a bad call. That was a bad call. That's I've never seen anything like it. Usually they call the forward progress if, you know, it's a struggle tackle, boom, and then you go back. But that was a smack right down to the ground, balls out. It just, you know, that, even with that, still have plenty of chances to win, but that one, I don't understand that one.
Here's more from Derrick Johnson in the locker room yesterday.
What do you think went wrong for the defense in the second half?
Second half didn't stop the run. They did a great job with that big running back. We had some chances, even though they were moving the ball some. We still had some chances where you say, "Hey, let's just stop them here." Didn't do it.
Derrick Johnson then talked a little bit about, oh boy, this has been a popular topic, where this playoff loss ranks.
Was this loss any worse than the other playoff losses that you've gone through in Kansas City?
With this loss, oh man, this loss is, you know, they're all bad. They're all bad. This one ranks up there. I mean, this is a 21-3. I guess I've been up on a team more than that, but this one hurts.
I know you said you want to play next year. Do you think it'll be in KC?
You never know. All that business will go during the off season. My heart's with the Chiefs. So however I can make it work, I'm going to make it work. This team, we have something. We just, too bad we didn't take advantage this year.
Right when we talked to Derrick Johnson, he just talked with Andy Reid. Andy Reid had talked to several members of the team, and here's what Derrick Johnson said Andy Reid's message was after this loss.
It was short and sweet, you know. We know where he stands with letting a game like this slip away from us. He puts a lot of pressure on himself. But at the same time, we're players, and we know that we got to get it done. We didn't. Today sucks.
That sums it up pretty well. Needed to get it done, didn't. Today sucks, right? Yep.
Sam and I were talking during the right before he left about that play. Yeah, I know Sam Mellinger personally. That play at the on the last clock killing possession. Whoa. Boy, that was a close one.
What are you thinking about
was close.
Over there,
man?
Aren't you
when Marcus Peters made that hit on Henry and forced the fumble. Of course, as we know, Henry was down and. But for a few moments, everybody in the stadium got to think that the Chiefs had just miraculously rescued the game, and it was going to be Derek Johnson to get to celebrate in the end zone with his touchdown.
Would have been great.
He deserves it, if anybody for the Chiefs deserved that moment, is it not Derek Johnson? But nope, not even Derek Johnson gets to have something like that.
Fans deserve it.
Well, yeah.
Let's hear from Andy Reid. Now, this is Andy Reid yesterday at noon out of the Arrowhead practice facility after having, and look, I'll just say a night to sleep on it. I don't know how much he slept. I wouldn't be surprised if he told me he stayed up all night and watched game film over and over again and drove himself crazy and then met with the media at noon, got it done, and then went on about his business. I don't know. I can't imagine he slept too many hours, but this was noon yesterday when Andy Reid met with the media. Here are his opening thoughts after watching the game. After losing the game, he had to go back and watch it. Here's what Andy Reid said.
All right. I had a chance to go back through and look at the game. Basically what I mentioned last night, we didn't do as well as we needed to do, obviously, to win the game. I do appreciate the fans and for all the support that they did for us throughout the year, and in particular yesterday, they were out there in the cold and cheering us on. Obviously, very disappointed in the results of the game. We've got to do better, and it starts with me. So I've got to make sure that my team finishes games when given that opportunity, and we didn't do that. It's a tough day all the way around because you're not going to be the same team as you were yesterday, and so I meet individually with all the players and talk to them, and some of the guys won't be back, but that's the nature of this business. But it does present a pretty tough day for today. But with that, I'll leave it with you. And then, again, we have a long off season here. We're putting all the plans together for that, and we'll let you know down the road what's going on.
Now, I know for a fact that Jake Gutierrez was in here yesterday, preparing for the show, putting some sound together, and we had some brief contact as I was angrily driving back from Arrowhead Stadium because I just had enough, I had my fill of Arrowhead by yesterday at about 3:30. I was good, and so I don't know if Jake meant for this to be a play on words.
No.
If he was just very, very tired. But I think this next clip is supposed to be described as what he will remember about this team. But it reads, what will Andy Reid remember about this ream? And I'll say this,
right?
That's why I'm hesitating, because either one is applicable here, because he got reamed on Saturday, so
yeah.
I don't know if,
well,
what were you pointing towards? Is that,
it's one of those reams you'll never forget.
It? I mean, right, yeah.
Figured, hey guys, I'm back, back.
A couple of reams that I certainly will never forget years and years later.
Yes.
I don't know. Which were you shooting for there? Was it team?
Well, should be team.
But I kind of feel like maybe this is even better.
Yeah.
Andy Reid asked what he'll remember about this Ream or team.
Right.
Well, the grit that got him back into the mix. A lot of times when things go south, they go south fast and never recover. And it's happened to a lot of football teams. This group here rallied back, you know, through whatever injuries you want to look at and adversity and put together a pretty good season. Very, very seldom do you go back and look, although you have to do this now as a head coach. I go back and look at your IR staff there, crew, and heck, there's pretty good football players there, which leads you to optimism for the upcoming year and, you know, those type of things. It's one of those things you have to do. It's all part of this process, but there's pretty good football players right there, and I'm proud of the guys that had to step in and do the job in which they did. On the other side of that, you know, guys came over, overcame some things. You know.
Here, Andy Reid was asked how he will consider making changes on his coaching staff and on the roster.
I take a little time to do that. And then, obviously, Brett Veach is a big part of the personnel part of it. So I go back through and evaluate everything, and that's the best way to do it.
Do you intentionally say, I'm not going to think about anything for a little while, to just try to...
Well, hey, you never not think about it. You know, it's one of those things. But you try to step back away from it, and time has a factor in the thing, you know, and being able to evaluate everything. So.
Does that include who's your starting quarterback's going to be next year?
You do it for everything. I mean, it's, you know, everything. You go through every situation, scenario. It's that's how you roll.
Andy Reid was asked why this football team has trouble finishing games.
I'd tell you no right now. They're all different. I've had a chance to look at that. I mean, I've thought through that too. So, but they've all been different.
He doesn't know why the team can't finish. here's a trick question. Why can't this team stop the run? I've got an idea, but let's hear what Andy Reid has to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are things we could have done better there. Obviously tackling when you're in position to tackle and so on. But, you know, we had made a stand against some pretty good run teams. And unfortunately, we sustained some – we were beat up there a little bit in the front and, you know, kind of piecing it together. And that's a tough deal. You know, so it might have caught up to us a little bit there, but there's some things we can do better and get better at and so on, but they got us. I mean, that's...
Being your defensive coordinator?
What?
You know, I thought that the injury to Raheem Nunez Roaches was an underrated one. I talked about that. I did a little Facebook Live hit on...
Then you didn't listen to the pregame because we did a whole damn segment about it live from Arrowhead Stadium.
I didn't listen to the pregame because I was there.
Right.
I would have listened, and I think you're spot on by doing a segment on that because I think that was... You know, that was an underrated injury in terms of the impact it had on the game, especially once Chris Jones went out. You're missing both of those guys. But again, you know, you got to overcome that. You still can't give up 200 yards rushing. I mean, you just can't.
Bob Sutton should have coached his last game for the Chiefs on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's been long enough. The defense, if anything's gotten worse as time has gone on.
Does anyone disagree with that? That's what I think.
Nope.
I think it is time to part ways with Bob Sutton. Anyone disagree? Okay. Also, I hosted Chiefs pregame live from Arrowhead Stadium. At that point, I had Cody Tapp on my right, Kevin Keatson on my left. We're at a little round table. I was facing a television. They were not. I had Todd Lebo openly mocking me as I was trying to host the show while the Missouri-Florida game was in its final minutes.
Ooh, no.
And Todd just couldn't get enough joy out of the uncomfortable position I was in.
Right.
And then... as Kevin is answering a question that I asked him, thank you to Kevin Keatsman for giving one of the longest answers that he could possibly give because as he was speaking, he saw, I guess I raised my glasses, and they said it looked like, someone said it looked like my insides had melted. And
so
like, you know, my eyes got real big. I was,
yeah.
And it was my reaction while on the air as Florida laid the ball in with basically no time left to win the game after Jordan Guice threw it away, right? That was just after an official called a phantom foul on a three-point shot where literally no one or no thing touched the Florida shooter. I have not confirmed that it was Jeff Triplett, who was actually there in Columbia, and then quickly jumped in his car and made his way down I-70 to Arrowhead Stadium. I don't know that. No one has confirmed that for me. It may be. I don't know. But while that was happening, Lebo said he thought my face was going to explode. And so I don't know how it looked. But then I quickly snapped back and then finished the segment, and then I puked. So Saturday was fun.
Lebo.
And boy, Todd, just right there, just digging it in, man.
You know.
Just digging it in.
Well, Todd knows how to dig it in.
Just took the heel of his boot.
Yep.
And was just grinding it right into my groin.
He always wears boots.
Right there. Yep. Just grinding it. Give me a sound effect, maybe with that sound. Just get it. Just give me the old, you know. You know? I'm like, that's it. That's exactly right. That's what it sounded like.
You know, on the flip side, I do feel like, I feel like I need to at least say this. I would like to personally thank Mitch Lightfoot for allowing me to enjoy a little bit of my Saturday as he rescued the Jayhawks along with an amazing performance by Devontae Graham. But Mitch Lightfoot played out of his mind in allowing the Jayhawks to win a game against TCU. It made
I think
me
at
feel,
that point in the evening, I was staring at a wall,
yeah,
hoping that the wall would not disappoint me.
I still was like, I mean, I was a big win for KU, and it was great, but I still like was just, I don't know, it didn't cheer me up very much.
No, not at all. I was meh. Meh.
Well, I mean, I was a little more than meh because I was like, God, KU needs to win this game, but it was more like a relief.
Watching it like a zombie.
Yeah, yes. I felt like I was just laying there on the couch like a zombie watching it like... I know this matters a lot.
I didn't. By the time I got out of that damn parking lot and got home, I know we were out in the parking lot at a standstill for at least an hour. And so I felt like I'd vented enough to fill. But then when I got home, thankfully the girls were more than willing to sing and dance and entertain me. So there was no TV. There was no game. At that point, I had enough of sports and competition.
I was sure Kansas was going to lose that
game. You
know
game. What I mean? But I mean, I went, I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't think I want to watch the other NFL game. I'm okay.
Yeah, I had no interest in watching that game. Yeah.
I think we could watch some cartoons. I think we'll watch Moana again. Let's sit down.
It's a good, good movie.
Let's enjoy the rock.
Moana. Yeah, I mean, we had to watch.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I had to watch KU welcome. Game.
Yeah.
But I was sure they were going to lose. Like, when it was coming out, I was like, oh, this is going to be just like the worst sports day ever. But they didn't. So thank you, Mitch Lightfoot.
Let's move on to the eighth read, Andy Reid comment. This includes Cody Tapp, who I spent the afternoon with out at Arrowhead Stadium, as we were both enamored with the quarterback duel between Blake Bortles and Tyrod Taylor. And you're thinking, how could this get any better? How could this quarterback showdown get any better? Well, much like Enter Sandman, enter Nate Peterman to finish the day. It was like, boy, it's been a long time since I've seen quarterback play this bad in a playoff game. And Nate Peterman literally said, hold my beer. And let me close the show with a back-breaking interception where I challenge perhaps the best corner in football with an ill-advised pass. I wonder if he'll make a play. Oh, he intercepted it? Huh. Huh. Well, better luck next year. Let's hear Andy Reid as Cody asked him about the difficulty in making changes to the staff.
You've had a lot of coordinators leave over those years. You know, like letting staff members like that at different positions group go hasn't been as common. Is it difficult to come to a decision like that if someone's been on your staff that long, if you feel like you need to make a bigger change, specifically like either in coordinators or position group coaches?
I think I'll just let that slide there. That's not where I'm at. But probably the wrong question to ask right about this time. So.
Is it?
You know, let that slide.
Let me tell you this. There have been there's plenty of times that I've seen. Well, I don't know. Don't they call it Black Monday, the day after the final game?
Well, okay, yeah, week 17, Monday after week 17.
You're gone.
There's no Monday night football.
Gone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, all the games are over.
The day after, okay.
Right.
Pink slip, sorry. So not the wrong time to ask that question because it's the day after. And many teams have made that decision. So when's the right time? You know why? Because you're not going to talk again. Okay, is it tomorrow? Can I ask you tomorrow? Well, no, because there's not a press conference tomorrow. Thursday, around the same time? How about that? No, there's no press conference scheduled.
Next week.
So what are you supposed to save it for?
OTAs?
No, when they tell me, when are you supposed to save it for then? Why is that the wrong time? Okay, you know when the wrong time was probably? Right after the game in that press conference. The next day, he knows what he's going to do. He knows what he's going to do. He knows.
You know.
And so, and I'm not saying he should have answered it, but it's not the wrong time to ask that question because there's no next time that you know of. Andy Reid's not going to be sitting out there in the lobby at the practice facility waiting for you to ask him today. Hey, is it a good time to ask now, Coach? Time's yours. So when's the appropriate time? Jake, when's the appropriate time?
I
don't know.
After dinner on Tuesday? Like, what?
I can understand him maybe saying that in postgame, like the night of the game.
Right, that's what I just said. It's the next day.
I think he probably felt like he already addressed that situation earlier in the press conference. I think that's, I don't know.
And I know, like, I mean, the question was, is it hard? I'm sure, like, yeah, well, of course it's hard. You know, of course, if I'm going to have to let go of one of my longtime friends and assistant coach, it's hard. But you know, it's not the wrong time to ask questions.
I think he was just annoyed because he was asked earlier about it, and he said, you know what?
And he doesn't want to talk about it.
Right, he doesn't want to talk about it. But he also said in the press conference, hey.
Guess what? We don't want to talk about the Chiefs losing another playoff game, but we have to because it happened.
Well, a record 6 in a row at home?
Because it happened.
A record?
Yep. If you don't want to answer questions
NFL
about
record.
Having to fire coordinators or changing quarterbacks or anything else, here's the key. Don't blow the game in the second half.
We're
talking about, so what do you think of this matchup against the Patriots? How have they changed since the last time you played them? But since you're not playing them because you blew the game, we got to ask you about that stuff. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady in the studio. Jake Gutierrez, thank you very much for getting the sound ready so we can play today. Would you like to hear some more Andy Reid comments from yesterday? It's up to you.
I mean, not really.
Well, if there's one thing we want to play, because I listened to that whole thing a couple times yesterday.
Give me a couple of comments that we haven't played that you think are useful to the
ears.
Well,
we talked about it in the 6 o'clock hour, but you know, Andy Reid was asked why they went away from running the ball, and his response, I mean, it was directed towards himself and Nagy, whoever were calling the plays, but also gave him a little wiggle room, like, hey, the players are on the field making the decisions, so we can only call the plays, and the players have to execute the plays. So this was Andy Reid when he was asked why they went away from running the ball in the second half.
Yeah, so we, you know, we have those RPOs in there, and some of what they were doing dictated a little bit more of the throws than the runs. And then, you know, we started off like gangbusters the second half, a nice little run there, and then it tailed off there a little bit. So could we have called them more? Yeah, I mean, you look back at it, maybe you could have maybe handed to them more. So, you know, the three and outs were hurting us a little bit.
I don't personally take that as a blame, like blaming Alex Smith for this, because I think what he's saying, like, if you
then call, why even mention the RPOs?
Well,
then?
I think what he's saying is like, if you this is what I take from it. If you call the run pass option, the quarterback is supposed to read a couple of keys, and his job is to read the keys. And if a key tells him one thing, he runs it. If the key tells him nothing, he is to throw it. So I think his point is, we probably should have called some more runs. You know,
don't call the option on third and one.
That was a terrible, yeah, yeah,
just ridiculous.
Well, you know what? Also, Alex Smith is equipped to audible out of place.
And here's the other thing too. We keep talking about, well, that third and two pass play, Orson Charles should have caught the ball. Will you listen to what in the hell
Who?
You're saying?
Who?
Orson Charles.
Who?
I have
you
to admit,
are talking
I yeah.
about Orson Charles. And if you're listening right now, if you're saying who, that's the point.
Ah, the French.
Not Orson Welles.
Maybe
not
it would have been
Orson
better if it was.
Ah, the French champagne.
Get a drunken Orson Welles out there, could have caught that.
If you're bitching about Orson Welles dropping the football.
Ah, the French.
Take it a step further. Why on third and two in the playoffs are you throwing the ball to Orson Charles? I get it. Travis Kelce got hurt. It's a numbers crunch. He's on the field. But he didn't catch the ball, which is the whole point of it. So third and two, I don't know. But maybe after on third and one you didn't give the ball to Kareem Hunt, give it to him on third and two. Just imagine if Tennessee would have tried to outfox themselves. Ah, let's not run the ball with Derrick Henry. The Chiefs were expecting it. So what are we talking about here? Don't be mad at Orson Charles. He's Orson Charles.
Ah, the French champagne.
Who is Orson Charles?
They signed him late in the game, halfway through the season. He was available. You know why? Because he's Orson Charles. If you don't want Orson Charles to have a key drop in the playoffs on third down, my guess is don't throw it to him. Again, get Kareem Hunt more involved in the pass game. I will give, again, unless it's just a terrible exchange, one thing you could say, Kareem Hunt won't drop the handoff, and so your odds are better. I can't believe that. Like that's and then on the play, on the final drive, on the last set of downs, was it on second down? Smith threw to a covered Demetrius Harris, 7 yards short of the first down marker. Go back to. If you catch these, what are we doing? How many times have we talked about his hands of stone? If you're a boxer like Roberto Duran and your nickname is the hands of stone, that's good.
It's a good thing.
Because you punch hard. If you are a tight end and your nickname is the hands of stone, that's not good.
Second and nine from the Tennessee 44?
Yeah. When they're creeping in to field goal territory, the play wasn't going anyway. But at that point, Smith's getting jittery, he's getting happy feet. He's going to throw to him. No. Then the next play was, as Bo Richter and Mellinger and everyone's talked about, is when he didn't keep his eyes downfield and just play collapsed. And then the last play, the panic throw to Albert Wilson in triple coverage. That Wilson had his hands on. If he would have caught it, he would have been separated from the football, and he would have been knocked out of the game. because the quarterback hung him out to dry. But whatever. Some people say, oh, great pass. Other people say, wow, there's three Titans around him. Means maybe someone else somewhere. Whatever. It's all the same. Everyone's at fault. It sucked. Here's an email, and I've received this from so many people via Twitter, Facebook, email. Hello, Stephen. Everything you said along with Sam and Jake and Nate is true. Do you think Clark Hunt would take it a step further and completely clean house and go after someone like Bill Cowher? Or are we destined to live in the movie Groundhog Day? Thanks, Stephen. Yours truly, Buddha. From Leavenworth. Here's the deal. Andy Reid just signed an extension before the season. He's not going anywhere unless he decides to retire. He's not going anywhere. They just chased off John Dorsey and gave the entire set of keys to Andy Reid and his hand-picked GM that he personally groomed from the time he was one of his interns. Does it sound like he's on the way out? He just signed a freaking extension before the season. Remember when they had to make the choice? And they signed, and we got the dual press releases. Andy Reid signs an extension. Chiefs and Dorsey part ways. That just happened. So no. And I understand the sentiment. I understand you're very angry, everyone. But they are not going to fire Andy Reid. They just signed him to an extension. He runs everything. It's his entire football operation. Okay, and they're going to give him a shot with the new quarterback that he handpicked, Patrick Mahomes. He'll have the quarterback, the GM, his son's the defensive line coach. It's all there. That's what it is. It's his team. All right? Clark Hunt's the owner, but it's Andy Reid's team. So I understand it. I understand the frustration, but it's just it's not possible. It's not.
He's not going anywhere.
It's not on the table.
No.
Okay.
He's not going anywhere. You know what? And here's the thing. Andy Reid's a really good coach. He's got to find a better defensive coordinator. He has to. He just has to. He's not perfect coach. I'm not saying he's a perfect coach. He's a really good coach. The team's been consistently a winner from the moment he took over. He's proven he can at least get to the Super Bowl. He's done that. He's gotten to multiple conference championship games. Hasn't done it here. Now it's time to find out with a new quarterback and with a new defensive coordinator if he can do it in Kansas City. I'm okay with that. My cousin Kurt texted me earlier, and we were talking about the quarterback situation. It doesn't matter if Mahomes starts next year. Andy will coach him and play call him into mediocrity. We'll see. I mean, I think it's, you know, hopefully we're about to find out. I don't think so. I think Patrick Mahomes is the kind of guy that's going to play his game. And if Andy Reid didn't want a guy who was willing to play like that, he wouldn't have drafted him, and he wouldn't have made comments about Brett Favre.
Andy Reid was around Brett Favre, yeah. And Brett Favre came to the league. Andy Reid sees a lot of Brett Favre and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
That is why he drafted him. Back after this on WHB. Happy 83rd birthday to the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley.
I just taught myself how to play a Elvis Presley song on the ukulele.
Happy birthday!
Just for you.
Where's it at? It's his birthday today, you know.
I didn't realize that. I should have brought it in.
Well, I feel like I've said everything I needed to say, and there's still plenty left that we could get to. But
can I say something to just hopefully make you feel better?
What is it?
I think the future is bright for the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right.
I think they're going to trade Alex Smith and get at least one, if not two, good picks in return for him. They're going to be in a good salary cap situation because of that. Patrick Mahomes is going to walk into an offense that has a 1,000-yard tight end, a 1,000-yard wide receiver who's coming into his prime. Chris Conley will be back, and the leading rusher in the NFL who's young a defense that's going to re-welcome Eric Berry to the fold and hopefully a couple of players to go along with it. And I think it's actually darn near a perfect situation for Patrick Mahomes to walk into. So I look forward to this offseason. I think it's going to be a busy one. And I think the Chiefs, I'm optimistic about the future of the Kansas City Chiefs.
And again, a year ago, after the Chiefs lost to Pittsburgh, I said that 2017, that season, would be a complete waste of time if the Chiefs did not make the move and go with the young quarterback and spend those resources to help improve the rest of the team because the rest of the team's not good enough. And so in an effort to not feel like it was a total waste of time, I'll remind everyone of the things that were accomplished with Alex Smith staying here. The Chiefs won another division title. Back-to-back division titles for the first time ever. It seems meaningless right now, but they did that. That's better than 2-14. Alex Smith had a career year and dramatically increased his I believe. And so he did the Chiefs a solid. And now the Chiefs could take advantage of his trade value being sky high, something the Royals have not been able to do. They missed that opportunity with several players. The Chiefs now have that opportunity to take advantage of that. And Patrick Mahomes did get a chance to sit behind Alex Smith and learn how to be a professional and get acclimated to the NFL. So all those are positives, I think. But now the Chiefs must get a new defensive coordinator. They must find more playmakers on defense, make some tough decisions about a number of veteran players. But now they must trade Alex Smith, spend that money that they'll save to acquire 3 or 4 players, cornerback, linebacker, pass rusher, wide receiver, guard, take your pick, and then use the draft picks they get in the trade to improve this football team. And finally, this franchise could take a step forward, and hopefully better days are ahead. Everyone have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.